Chapter 10, Section 3.2, Climatic Pattern, Inertial Increases with Past Success. One of the subjects I've mentioned is inertia and our resistance to change. With any established value chain, there are existing interfaces to components along with accompanying practices. There is a significant cost associated with changing these interfaces and practices due to the upheaval caused to all the higher order systems that are built upon it. For example, changing standards in electrical supply impacts all the devices which use it. This cost creates resistance to the change. You also find similar effects with data, or more specifically our models for understanding data. As Bernard Barber once noted, even scientists exhibit varying degrees of resistance to scientific discovery. For example, the cost associated with changing the latest hypothesis on some high-level scientific concept is relatively small, and often within the community we see vibrant debate on such hypotheses. However, changing a fundamental scientific law that is commonplace, well understood and used as a basis for higher level concepts will impact all those things built upon it, and hence the level of resistance is accordingly greater. Such monumental changes in science often require new forms of data, creating a crisis point in the community through unresolved paradoxes, including things that just don't fit our current models of understanding. In some cases, the change is so profound and the higher order impact is so significant that we even coin the phrase a scientific revolution to describe it. The costs of change are always resisted, and past paradigms are rarely surrendered easily, regardless of whether it is a model of understanding, a profitable activity provided as a product, or a best practice of business. As Wilfred Totter said, the mind delights in a static environment. Alas, this is not the world we live in. Life's motto is situation normal, everything must change, and the only time things stop changing is when they're dead. The degree of resistance to change will increase depending upon how well established and connected the past model is. In Figure 127, I've shown this as inertia barriers which increase in size the more evolved the component becomes. See Figure 127, Inertial Increases with Success. For more details. There are also many forms of inertia. In the example of coevolution, provided in 166 Chapter 9, there were two forms of inertia. The first is due to the success of past architectural practice. The second is caused by the co-evolving practice being relatively novel, and hence there existing high degrees of uncertainty over it. Both sources will create resistance due to adopting the change, which in this case is the shift from product to utility of computing. See Figure 128. See Figure 128, Practices and Inertia. For more details. So what makes up inertia and this resistance to change exist in business? That depends upon the perspective of the individual and whether they are a consumer or supplier. The consumer. From a consumer of an evolving activity, a practice or a model of understanding, then inertia tends to manifest itself in three basic forms: disruption to past norms, transition to the new, and the agency of new. I'll explain each using the example of cloud computing. The typical concerns regarding the disruption to past norms include changing business relationships from old suppliers to potentially new suppliers. A loss of in financial or physical capital through prior purchasing of a product, for example, the previous investment needs to be written off. A loss in political capital through making a prior decision to purchase a product, for example, what do you mean I can now rent the $1 billion ERP system I advised the board to buy on a credit card? A loss in human capital as existing skill sets and practices change, for example, server huggers. A threat that barriers to entry will be reduced, resulting in increased competition in an industry, for example, even a small business can afford a farm of supercomputers. The typical concerns regarding the transition to the new include confusion over the new methods of providing the activity, for example, isn't this just hosting? Concerns over the new suppliers as relationships are reformed, including transparency, trust, and security of supply. Cost of acquiring new skill sets as practices co-evolve, for example, designing for failure and distributed architecture. Cost of re-architecting existing estates which consume the activity. For example, the legacy application estates built on past best practices, such as N+1, scale up, and assume past methods of provision, i.e. better hardware, and will now require re-architecting. Concerns over changes to governance and management. The typical concerns regarding the agency of the new include, suitability of the activity for provision in this new form, i.e. is the act really suitable for utility provision and volume operations? The lack of second sourcing options. For example, do we have choice and options? Are there multiple providers? The existence of pricing competition and switching between alternatives suppliers. For example, are we shifting from a competitive market of products to an environment where we are financially bound to a single supplier? The loss of strategic control through increased dependency on a supplier. These risks or concerns were typical of the inertia to change I saw with cloud computing in 2008. However, it wasn't just consumers that had inertia, but also suppliers of past norms. Suppliers of past norms. The inertia to change of suppliers inevitably derives from past financial success. For example, the shift from product to utility services is a shift from high-value model to one of volume operations and over time declining unit value. There is a transitional effect here which cause a high-volume, high-margin business for a period of time, but we will cover that later. In general, existing suppliers need to adapt their existing successful business models to this new world. Such a change is problematic for several reasons. All the data the company has demonstrates the past success of current business models, and concerns would be raised over cannibalization of the existing business. The rewards and culture of the company are likely to be built on the current business model, hence reinforcing internal resistance to change. External expectations of the financial markets are likely to reinforce continual improvement of the existing model, i.e. it's difficult to persuade shareholders and financial investors to replace a high margin and successful business with a more utility approach when that market has not yet been established. For the reasons above, the existing business model tends to resist the change, and the more successful and established it is, then the greater the resistance. This is why the change is usually initiated by those not encumbered by past success. The existing suppliers not only have to contend with their own inertia to change, but also the inertia their customers will have. Unfortunately, the previous peaceful model of competition, for example one product versus another, will lull these suppliers into a false sense of gradual change, in much the same way that our existing experience of climate change lulls us into a belief that climate change is always gradual. This is despite ample evidence that abrupt climate change has occurred repeatedly in the past. For example, at the end of the Younger Dryas period, the climate of Greenland exhibited a sudden warming of +10°C within a few years. We are as much a prisoner of past expectations of change as past norms of operating. Hence, suppliers with pre-existing business models will tend to view change as gradual and have resistance to the change, which in turn is reinforced by existing customers. This resistance of existing suppliers will continue until it is abundantly clear that the past model is going to decline. However, this has been compounded by the punctuated equilibrium which combines exponential change with denial. Hence, by the time it has become abundantly clear and a decision is made, it is often too late for those past incumbents to survive. For a hardware manufacturer who has sold computer products and experienced gradual change for 30 years, it is understandable how they might consider this change to utility services would also happen slowly. They will have huge inertia to the change because of past success. They may view it as just an economic blip due to a recession, and their customers will often try to reinforce the past, asking for more enterprise-like services. Worst of all, they will believe they have time to transition, to help customers gradually change, to spend the years building and planning new services, and to migrate the organization over to the new models. The cold hard reality was that many existing suppliers didn't comprehend that the battle would be over in 3 to 4 years, and for many the time to act was already passing. In 2008, they were in the last chance saloon and the tick was clocking towards last orders, though they claimed this event was far in the future and they had plenty of time. Like the rapid change in climate temperature in Greenland, our past experience of change does not necessarily represent the future. In Figure 129, I've classified various forms of inertia, included tactics to be used to counter, and various forms of messaging you might wish to consider in your struggle against it. When looking at a map, it's extremely helpful to identify the forms of inertia you will face and how to counter them before charging straight on into the battle. There's little worse than leading the charge into battle only to discover the rest of organization is still getting dressed for a party and is convinced the war is sometime next decade. See Figure 129, Classifying Inertia, for more details. One of the more dangerous forms of inertia are financial markets. Despite the illusion of the future-thinking world of finance, in most cases stability is prized. There is an expectation set by the market on past results and often significant discounting of the future. If anything, 2008 was a very visible reminder of this as the economy crumbled around us. The problem for a CEO of a hardware company at that time was the market comes to expect a certain level of profit, revenue, growth and return. There is only so much you can do to blame a change on general economic factors, for example a downturn, as the market expects you to return to norm and most executives are rewarded on short-term measures based upon this. The result is one of the most peculiar aspects of the war stage of competition, the death spiral.